the volume.
The Colin Cowherd Podcast brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any fantasy sport, there is a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Hi, everybody, and welcome to our Monday morning podcast. Matt Mosley, my cowboy guy, my Dallas cowboy guy. We have to talk about something beyond Cooper Rush. He'll be joining in 10 minutes. Very, very weird Sunday. I didn't think Mike White and Trevor Siemian were going to go gangster on Sunday in the NFL. Got to be honest. Totally threw me for a loop. Let's talk Steelers-Browns. So Cleveland's passing game's got a problem. You cannot have the best offensive line in the league, OBJ, Jarvis Landry, above average tight ends, a good running game, injuries or not, and be scoring 10 points. This was the third game where Baker Mayfield did not have a touchdown pass. This is the best offensive line in the league. Clearly, the coaching staff does not trust Baker Mayfield. Kevin Stefanski is a brilliant play caller. Midfield, couple of yards, all you need. They don't trust the quarterback. And it doesn't matter if it's Baker Mayfield's fault or not. That's not the issue. If you're in a movie and you're one of the headliners and it bombs at the box office, it sticks to you. Cleveland is incredibly lucky Cincinnati lost because they're 4-4 and right now do not look like a playoff team. It doesn't matter whose fault it is. They want to trade Odell Beckham, who I don't think is completely washed, but he's expensive and brittle. I called a general manager on Sunday and ask him his thoughts about OBJ. And his thoughts were, he doesn't have the burst he used to, and he's super expensive. I think they should have made this move last year. I understand hanging on to him for a deep threat. He's explosive, and that's where the league's going. But it doesn't matter if you want to defend Baker Mayfield. They're 4-4. Third game, no touchdown passes. And the coaching staff does not trust him. They did not trust him against the Chargers. Remember that? 3rd and 10 ran the football. They do not trust him against the Steelers at home. And this is not a dynamic Pittsburgh offense. So whether it's Tua's fault or not, he had 4 straight 3-and-outs in Buffalo on Sunday in the third quarter. The owner was there. Not saying the protection was good. Not saying the running game was good. It falls on you. You're the quarterback. So Cleveland's passing game right now is out of sync. The OBJ situation's bad, and Baker Mayfield wants to get compensated. There's absolutely no way you can give him the bag. You cannot consider it at this point. This team is just off. I thought this was one of the locks of the day with Baker Mayfield. They never got in a rhythm, and the passing game right now is completely broken. Let's pivot to the Colts-Titans. I thought the Colts season rested in the balance with this win against Tennessee. They lost it, and I see them now as a team on the outside looking in. I think it's a well-coached team and a good roster. You know, sometimes you're actually better off being bad at quarterback, so at least everybody in the building knows. After this year, they have one more big year of a Carson Wentz salary, and Carson Wentz didn't just lose that game to the Titans. He lost it like 3 different times. He's basically a more talented Sam Darnold, big moves, 6'4.5", 235, big arm, and incredibly bad judgment, incredibly reckless. So as much as I like the Colts, they're not great at left tackle, they're not great at corner, they're not great at wide receiver, and they're good and not special at quarterback. He's just too reckless. And this really is a fundamental truth about the National Football League in 2021. You can be really solid everywhere, but you got to be great at receiver, great at quarterback, great at left tackle, and probably at least have one great corner to be a special team. The Colts are okay at those positions, really strong everywhere else, and I think their season is done. And I think they're splitting the building on what to do with Carson Wentz. I think Frank Reich wants him. He's one of those quarterbacks. He divides a building. And even when he was vying for the MVP years ago, I don't remember him being this reckless with the football. But it appears to be worse. He does not have a star wide receiver consistently. And so, you know, we talk about this, like Patrick Mahomes, he's trying to make plays and it's really bad. And I think you have a divided room. I think you have divided executives who just don't know what the hell to do with Carson Wentz. Let me segue to Mac Jones in New England. So the last 12 quarters of Mac Jones, the four against the Chargers, the four against the Jets, the four against the Cowboys, and the second half against the Texans, here's what's really encouraging for New England. He's gotten out of the awful throw business. Now, they have receivers in N'Keal Harry and Jacoby Myers that just don't separate. They just don't. They're not a highly effective passing team. They have to do it with screens, underneath routes, a lot of deception. But more than any young quarterback, and we heard Mac Jones is smart, he's accurate, he won't make big mistakes twice. The last 14 quarters I've watched him, New England feels like a playoff team to me. Cleveland doesn't today. Cleveland doesn't today. The Chargers, I'm on the fence about. New England feels like a playoff team. Great coach, tremendous veteran offensive coordinator, an efficient quarterback, a stingy defense, and one of the best kickers in football, Folk. So really encouraging for Mac Jones. You have to feel great about this if you're a Patriot fan. I don't think he has a terribly high ceiling. I don't think anybody listening to this podcast does. But your first couple years in this league, the quicker you can get out of the terrible throw business, the better. And from what I've seen from Mac Jones, he's already moved out of it. I want to talk 49ers and Chicago Bears. So college football is a developmental business, and the NFL ideally would be. But if you're Kyle Shanahan, you do not have time to develop Trey Lance. I was talking to somebody in the scouting business yesterday. You don't have time to develop him. You have to win games. You're the head coach of the 49ers if you're Kyle Shanahan, and you're the play caller. You have no time to develop Trey Lance. And so for the people looking for that to happen, as long as Garoppolo wins, you're going to keep him in there. When a head coach is a play caller, he's out of the development business. Trey Lance is going to have to develop in the offseason. And, you know, it's funny about, I talked last week about the con of Twitter, is that, you know, Joe Biden was the overwhelming favorite to get the Democratic nomination, but Twitter would lead you believe he was old, he had no shot, he won in a landslide. Twitter would have you believe yesterday, I'm watching this, and Justin Fields was literally the star of the game. Jimmy Garoppolo was 17 to 28, 325 yards, ran for two touchdowns. The Niners won 33-22. Justin Fields had three really remarkable plays. He also had a pick, went 19 for 27, and threw for 175 yards. If you were on Twitter yesterday, you would have thought Justin Fields put up the performance of the afternoon. Hell, he was the second best quarterback in Chicago. Garoppolo even ran for two touchdowns. Now, Deebo Samuel helped take one of those little passes out in the flat for about 80 yards. But this is what I've talked about. You have to watch the games. Garoppolo's ability to get him in and out of trouble. I thought they actually coached with a little bit of confidence with Jimmy Garoppolo, and he played very, very well. But as long as he wins, they're going to play him, because you cannot develop Trey Lance in the middle of a season. Developing is putting him out there like Justin Fields and letting him play. And right now, he's not as good as Jimmy Garoppolo. So an interesting team, and this is the power of really good coaching, and we're seeing this with Belichick in New England. He has got Mac Jones up to speed, and now they feel like they have a chance to make the playoffs. So Sean Payton's a great coach. Jameis Winston gets hurt. Taysom Hill's in concussion protocol until next week. So they bring in Trevor Siemian, who, by the way, for about an hour or two, the Denver Broncos thought he could be the future. Smart kid, went to Northwestern, does not have a terribly lively arm, but makes good decisions, gets you in and out of trouble, can deliver stuff. And again, Trevor Siemian can win you games. You're not going to build around him. So it is interesting when I watch the Saints, because DeSean Jackson wants out of the Rams, speed receiver, and OBJ needs to be out of Cleveland. Keep your eye on the Saints. Here's why. Michael Thomas is coming back. Taysom Hill is coming back. They're 5-2 in a division where Atlanta and Carolina are very average. In a conference, the NFC, where there are not seven teams get into the playoffs, there are not seven good teams. Keep your eye on the New Orleans Saints. 5-2, great coach, great defense. They have Mark Ingram now and Alvin Kamara, two good backs. Taysom Hill comes back with Trevor Siemian. When Michael Thomas returns, the one thing the Saints don't have is a dependable deep threat. Tuesday at 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific is the trading deadline. If you watched OBJ one hand attempt to catch against the Steelers, I mean, talk about nonchalant. I guarantee you, Kevin Stefanski's going to see that. He wants out. It's time to move him. And DeSean Jackson. If you're Sean Payton, I've got a defense. I love my coaching. I like my offensive line. We have now Ingram and Alvin Kamara. By the way, Kamara may be the best catching running back of my lifetime. He is insane. And Michael Thomas comes back. Michael Thomas is not a deep threat. Keep your eye on that. Because I think the Saints look at this NFC and think, we match up with Tampa. I think they think their defense matches up with Green Bay, matches up with Dallas. I'm not sure if they match up with the Rams, but they could convince themselves of that. One to keep your eye on. All right, Monday night matchup. FanDuel Sportsbook's about to make it even bigger because FanDuel's given new customers 30-1 odds on either team to win. That means you can end the NFL week right by winning $150 in a $5 bet. Well, I initially liked the Kansas City Chiefs to cover a 9-point spread. The spread is now up to 10.5 at FanDuel. The New York Giants getting 10.5. I think the Chiefs are a much better team and are going to win. The Giants tend to be a pretty good road team. I'd probably take the Giants plus 10.5. I don't think they have any chance to win, but that would probably be my side. Listen, FanDuel Sportsbook is the number one rated sportsbook app in America. It's easy to use, safe, fast payouts. Plus, here's the thing. When you win, you get paid in as little as 24 hours. Sign up now, promo code Colin this week. You win $150 and a $5 bet. Remember to use the promo code Colin, C-O-L-A-N, so they know I sent you, exclusively on the FanDuel Sportsbook app. 21 plus and present in Arizona, Colorado, Indiana, Michigan, Jersey, Tennessee, and Virginia or West Virginia. Refund issued as non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 7 days. Max refund $10. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Same game parlay available for multiple sports in all states on mobile/web. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Visit fanduel.com/RG in Colorado, Jersey, and Virginia. Or call 1-800-9-WITH-IT in Indiana. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. Tennessee Red Line is 1-800-889-9789. Or go to 1-800-GAMBLER.net in West Virginia. Or call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXTSTEP to 53342 in Arizona.
All right, now I bring in my buddy, covered the Cowboys for a long time, Matt Mosley, also part of The Volume. He is a regular at The Volume. He is our Cowboys source, and he makes me laugh. So I'm going to say something, and I'm going to sound like some damn troll. I couldn't tell the difference between Cooper Rush and Kirk Cousins, and I'm not joking. If you would have never watched an NFL game and said who's the starter and who's the backup, I'm not joking. I really felt that. Am I nuts?
Well, I think something, the Cowboys defense had something to do with what happened to Cousins. He has his moments. I think you said it. I think I saw it on Twitter. You said something about Parsons. We probably need to talk about Parsons at some point because he was unbelievable. He was really good against the Chargers earlier this season, and he was great in this game, and he took it over. I think this is a game that people that maybe Vikings fans that aren't Zimmer fans, and I'm a big Zimmer fan, and I've known him for a long time.
I like him, too.
I think Mike is going to take this one personally. I think the fact that they were able to get this thing done with rushing, it's not like they got like a ton. I mean, I thought Zeke made a great play late in the game.
Yes.
I thought that was
huge.
I mean, listen,
this is why you pay him a lot of money. Zeke's a great player. That's a Dalvin Cook moment. That's a Zeke moment. There's about three guys, Nick Chubb maybe. But you know what? You know, beyond Micah Parsons, I think Randy Gregory has been really, really disruptive for the Cowboys, opposing offensive lines. This is one of these years, Matt, and this is the way it works a lot of times in the NFL. It's not a dynasty league, despite what the Patriots have done. To win big in this league, this was Tampa last year. You needed about six guys to have career years. And Randy Gregory's having a career year. He's playing great.
Yeah, think about the fact that their best, supposedly their best defender, DeMarcus Lawrence, has not stepped foot on the field yet. They survived this game. I was having visions early of the Nooch, the great Ben DiNucci, on a Sunday night. And I thought, oh, this is not going to go well. And they kind of hung in there. This will be another one. You know, I've told you before, when I think the Joneses, like a win means so much to them, the Jones family, this is enormous for them because it's one of the first times ever that they've been that compromised and they've gotten a win, whether it was with Dalton, DiNucci, all these people they've had, Brad Johnson in the past, Brandon Whedon.
Yeah.
These things have not gone their way. But to your point on Gregory, this is a game, you know, where they won this game is there are a few areas, but one was that drive where all that craziness happened to them, where a stupid call on Gregory when literally he hits a guy that's still in bounds. Okay, that's a bad, a bad call. The other one, he kind of shoved a guy and the guy fell down. I mean, there was some real crazy calls. I think there were three unnecessary roughness calls on that one drive, and they still held them to a field goal with like 3.5 minutes left. And then you need Cooper Rush to take you down the field, and he somehow gets it done. I mean, that's the kind of win that they really haven't had in the past. And they got it with this is not even a Dalton-level quarterback. I mean, I know we'll have a lot of fun with this, and his family was there. And I think it is funny and maybe kind of true what you said. Cousins is just kind of the where they look the same is quarterbacks like that love to unleash throws off their back foot. And that's what, like, Cousins at some point has just decided, I've got this incredible arm, I can do whatever I need to do. And he just got exposed throughout a lot of that game.
You know, I've been talking about this, Matt. What's happening in the NFL is a good quarterback is no longer good enough. This is where Brady talks about it's a skills competition. Now, Tom had a terrible day, and it happens. I mean, the great one. Tom hasn't had a perfect season yet. I mean, he had a stinker, two stinkers last year. He had a stinker. He had three stinkers last year. He had a stinker today. But I will say this. Kirk Cousins is good. But that's just not good enough, especially in a division. If you start looking at the NFC, McVay, Stafford, okay, Aaron Rodgers, LaFleur, okay, Brady, Arians, those are great quarterbacks with offensive head coaches. So you give Kirk Cousins Mike Zimmer, who's conservative by nature, and that's the difference to me, Matt, is that if the NFC is not as deep as the AFC, I mean, New Orleans right now, to me, I mean, if Jameis stays healthy, I think they're a leading wild card team. I mean, look around. Washington's a dud. Minnesota's a dud. I think Kirk Cousins with McVay or Kirk Cousins with LaFleur would give him a little extra life. But I think with Zimmer, I think it just there's no creative exceptionalism with that. And so I think Kirk Cousins is good. But that's not good in 2021. It's not good enough.
No, I agree. And this has been him for a while. He just does good enough to keep getting deals and keep, you know, he's gotten the extensions.
Beating Detroit, beating Chicago. You know, this year, I watched them against Cleveland's defense. He stunk. I watched them in the Arizona game. He lost. I watched them against the Cowboys defense. He's mediocre. Again, you can win 8-9 games with that.
Yeah.
But the top of the NFC, Matt, you're going to have to go up against great quarterbacks. You know, let's talk about this too. We can all bang on McCarthy, but there is something to be said that the team plays their ass off with him. So you and I can roll our eyes at guys, but let's go back to last year between Dan Quinn and Mike McCarthy and Dak. You know, Dak and McCarthy, for all we know, may get along really well. You tell me, you're around the team.
I think it is a really good relationship. I think what McCarthy did that was smart was understand that Kellen Moore and Dak had something that was different from most coach-player relationships. and he sort of let those guys, because they sort of had a bond and a friendship as players first, and then he had the trust of Moore, and they've really sort of grown together. And so I think the best thing you can say about McCarthy is he has thick enough skin to realize when he has a good thing going. And he's not, you know, I get frustrated with some of the things he does. I mean, the special team stuff sometimes can be bizarre, but I like the Jones family loves this guy. He's been perfect. He's fine with Jerry taking the lead and still being out front. And I think what you're about to see is, I mean, Kellen Moore is going to have any job he wants, whether that be Chicago or whatever. He's going to have 5 to 10, but 5 to 10 opportunities wherever he wants to go, he'll go. He could have any of these college jobs if he wanted it. That's how I think coveted. And this was a big win for him because it proved what happens with coaches is they get connected to certain quarterbacks. And yeah. Dak and Kellen have become extremely close. And so there's always this kind of thought, well, is it just because he has this great quarterback? I'm not saying that's fair, but I think in this case, this win, getting it done with a compromised quarterback. And if, for instance, if they had to go 5 to 6 games with Rush, they'd be very fortunate to go 500. They'd be very, That's right. very fortunate to do that. But they got a win on the road in a tough environment tonight, and it was big.
Yeah, I mean, listen, Trevor Siemian got a win over Brady, outplayed him. Mike White got a win over Joe Burrow. I've always said this, like when you don't know a guy's deficiencies, you know, when a guy comes in late, you haven't watched film on him. You don't know his deficiencies. So you can win games. Tebow won 7 straight. You can win games with a lot of guys. Think about this on Sunday. Cooper Rush beat Kirk Cousins. Mike White beat Joe Burrow. And Trevor Siemian beat Brady. Now, if they played next week, it'd be a whole different ball game. But I don't know. As I watch that Cowboy game, I come back to something that if you go, even in the NBA, in the NFL, you do need guys to be having career years. And I think Jerry Jones can take a lot of heat, but he's always been pro player. And sticking with Randy Gregory, he to me is such a disruptive force. If he stays healthy and maintains his level of play, and Micah Parsons is terrific, and you bring back DeMarcus Lawrence, this is a really, really athletic front. That's how it feels to me.
It does. And what they did in controlling that line of scrimmage, and you saw Cousins, he got extremely uncomfortable. And you realize, oh, yeah. Colin, they're doing this with defensive tackles that nobody, I mean, Odighizuwa is a rookie. Dorrance yeah. Armstrong came out of Kansas. I mean, he was maybe 3rd or 4th round pick years ago. And the guys that actually have decent names like Gallimore and DeMarcus Lawrence are not even playing. Urban's out right now, and they're getting all sorts of push. But to your point about Gregory is Jerry's missed on a lot of those kind of guys. Okay. Where yeah. a guy that has either mental health issues or marijuana issues. He's had some issues. This is a different guy. This guy had huge substance abuse issues or marijuana yep. issues related to the mental illness. And I really think actually, this guy was trying to use that to deal with it. He's tremendous. I'll tell you what he reminds me of, because his size, he's not quite as tall as this guy. But during those 90s teams, Leon Lett was just, he was unstoppable force, and he could line up in the middle. And you see what they do with Gregory is they'll loop him around on those stunts in those guard. They can't pass him off. He's too athletic. So he's yes. shooting those gaps and, yep. and they can't do it. And then what's fun to watch, too, is Parsons is so fast. And you had a good quote about it or a good tweet, something along the lines of, from an athletic standpoint, he's just sort of separate from all these other players yes. you see.
He doesn't look like other players. Yes. He doesn't.
And so in space, we're conditioned to see a smaller, fast, quick twitch back beat a big dude in space, and they don't beat him. Like, he breaks them down and makes the tackle yeah. in space pretty much every time. And that's strange to see.
By, you know, it was, I thought it was interesting. Michael Gallup's also, you know, this has been Cedric Wilson, CeeDee Lamb, Amari Cooper, and the tight end. You know, Amari Cooper's an interesting player because we talked about this, I think, on my show last week. I said Amari Cooper is perfect for the Patriots. He runs great routes. He's totally responsible. He's a hard worker, and they can't draft a receiver. But I thought he had one of the plays of the season for the Dallas Cowboys up that right sideline as I'm watching on television. God, that was a great play by Amari Cooper. It's funny because CeeDee Lamb nationally gets a lot of attention because he's a spectacular talent. He had a big drop, by the way, in this game that could have been a game changer. In Dallas, how is the receiving core discussed? Is Amari Cooper still the guy?
I think Amari is very trusted. I think it's Cowboys fans are trained to see him late in games on a tennis ball, like you saw him tonight, having some kind of issue. And so I think that is in the back of people's minds that for whatever reason, sometimes he has a little trouble fighting through games and is not always there for them at the end of games. But he fought back tonight and was huge. So I think there's two things at work. The acrobatic Odell Beckham Jr., I know he's not that great anymore, but that sort of the guy he used to be, that's CD. That's what people think of, the flash and dash, whereas Amari is the dependable. I mean, it's weird to call him a possession receiver, but I mean, I think he's proven that he's one of the best route runners in the NFL. And then you saw it tonight, Cedric Wilson. I mean, think about it. One of the reasons they're not having to rush Michael Gallup back, I think he could be ready for next week. And he was a really good third option. And this Cedric Wilson's a big play type receiver. And he's the one who had the 73-yard touchdown. And he gets in the open field and he's really good. So when Gallup comes back, they're going to have like four great wide receivers.
You know, it's really interesting. I was talking to Steve Keim, the Arizona Cardinal GM, a couple of weeks ago on this podcast. And he said, Colin, there's never been more good receivers and there's never been fewer corners. He goes, if you have three good receivers, by the time you get to your third receiver against their third best corner, it's a complete and utter mismatch. If you look at the NFC, we all know this, Matt. You're going to have to score points to win the NFC. So the Cowboys' strength is, you know, they pass protect Dak and those receivers. Same with LA, Stafford and those receivers. Same with Tampa, Brady and those receivers. Same with Arizona, Kyler and their offensive weapons. So Dallas, there's a lot of different ways to win in football. Like in the NFC, Baltimore and Tennessee don't feel like the top of the NFC. They feel very AFC. But I look at Dallas and I don't mean to be hyper on it, but I'm like, yeah, they match up with all these teams. In fact, I think they have a more consistent pass rush than the Rams. I think Arizona's got a pretty good consistent pass rush, although J.J. Watt's out. I look at this Dallas team right now, Matt, I think they match up with all the top teams in the NFC. I think you can make an argument on a neutral field. Those lines are 1 and 2 point spreads. I really do.
Mm-hmm. And they're about to get, you know, where other people are having to maybe try to use this trade deadline, they're about to get these folks back.
That's right.
And with Lawrence, it's only going to help. And then those young guys that have gotten all this time will only get better. And they're going to, you know, I think even Kelvin Joseph, who they took in the second round, is going to get in there and help them. And he could be a really good corner. I mean, you saw at times, and again, that's what's going to frustrate Zimmer and, you know, that whole Viking staff. Diggs, as great as he's been, just gets beat on those crossers. I mean, you see it. He's trailing forever. And you have such, you know, some big opportunities, and they just did not take it full advantage. So what happened is Cowboys kind of found their footing in this game and then fought their way back. But I think this is a great win for them. And then it was funny, that was the biggest drama before the game I've ever seen. Like, I've seen them have game time decision with quarterbacks, and I'm always in touch with the medical folks and everybody, and we're all trying to find out, and Werder and everybody else. I mean, they were down there on the field taking video. Oh, he's talking to this person. He was never he was never going to play, and they put him through that entire pregame workout just to screw with Zimmer and to mess with the Vikings and to think, oh, maybe. Because so in their minds, they did have to prepare for two quarterbacks. And Rush is a different kind of quarterback, does different things, certainly not anywhere nearly as good as Dak. But that whole thing was just a complete show. A game time decision. And it was hilarious because as the media, we just bite on those things. I mean, just breathless updates. Now he's doing this. Now he's on the resistance cords. Now he's and they do have an unbelievable athletic training staff, but everybody was in on this deal. This was sort of a big setup. And but what they did is this: he could have played, and he certainly would have played if it was a playoff game. But I think he'll have a lot more confidence, and the Cowboys will have more confidence in that calf next week.
Okay, so let's look at the Cowboys' schedule right now. So they are running away with their division. So let's look at the Cowboys' schedule. So they got some interesting games coming up. So they host the Broncos. I watched the Broncos. They're a mess offensively. And again, another weak-armed quarterback in Teddy Bridgewater who's not overly athletic, so it plays right into Dallas's front. By the way, then they get Matt Ryan at home, another weak-armed quarterback that's not athletic, plays into Dallas's front. Okay, then they go to Kansas City, but again, Kansas City's a team that can't stop the run. So hope you know I look at your schedule and I see Teddy Bridgewater and Matt Ryan coming to Dallas. Boy, then we head into Thanksgiving weekend. Raiders at the Cowboys, Cowboys Saints, Cowboys Washington, Cowboys Giants. Boy, there's a lot of wins on this. Washington, Dallas. There's a lot of wins here. Arizona has to come to Dallas. God, I got to put the pom-poms down here. What the hell's happening with me? I just look at this team and I see an athletic defensive front. I see terrific playmakers on the edge. I see a head coach that kind of lets his coordinators coach. I see Zeke and Tony Pollard. I get power. Yeah. I get quick. I see everything I want if I'm a fan.
I think if I'm going to shoot holes in anything, you got to keep an eye on Tyron Smith. That thing got away from him a little bit tonight at one point
in
the game.
He was in the tent.
They had that Inseki over there at left tackle. Mike McCarthy is very stubborn about the offensive line. Now, he did do the inverted. Did you see those formations tonight? They had Lyle Collins and McGovern back in the backfield. So they had seven offensive line. That's another thing about this team. They're kind of fun. They're doing some weird stuff. But what he won't do, like he'll have a guy like Lyle Collins who can play right tackle, can play either of the guard spots, and certainly has the talent to play left tackle. But Mike's kind of stubborn, and if he has a guy that hasn't been lining up at left tackle, he's been practicing this other guy at left tackle. So I would look for that. That one thing they need to do with Collins, if they're going to try to keep him as some kind of backup right now, and he'll be the most talented backup tackle in the game, in the league right now, because he's really, really good. He's just undependable. But they need to start playing him at left tackle. So that's I think for everything looks pretty good. They also are they're Connor Williams is not very good.
Terrence Steele on the right side has been fantastic.
He's been great. Yeah. I think he's good. And he got all the you love this offseason stuff. He won all the offseason weightlifting awards. I know you're into that.
I like that stuff.
Yeah.
That's what I was like, Mosley, in the newsrooms I worked at. I would win those awards. I was the hard worker. I'd win the parking space awards. You were out there having a good time and having tequila, being the man about town. I was out there doing sit-ups, getting the parking spot for Channel 3 in Vegas.
You know, I grew up Southern Baptist. I don't even know what tequila looks like.
Well, this was fun. Okay. Mosley, you just got a big fat check. We love having you at the volume. Anything else you want to talk about? Give me a game. Is there any other game you want to discuss?
Would y'all have my address, by the way, for those checks? I just want to make sure.
Hey, Andrew, let's get the, you know, he's a Southern Baptist. There's no state tax. He's an ethical man. So let's not play around on this.
Let's get these things going. Other games, golly, you know, your guy Baker, I hated it for him. that his receiver let him down. I thought that was a, you know, that's one of those games that was ugly. But if you kind of hung with it and were invested in it, there were some really fun things about that game. The hitting, you know, the Steelers,
the problem, they had a 4th and 2 at about the 50 and Stefanski wouldn't go for it.
Oh, I know.
And if you went back to that Charger game, 3rd and 10. I don't think they trust Baker. I don't think Stefanski's not going to say it publicly, but the passing game is broken, and I don't think Stefanski trusts him. I watched the play calling. And their defense, by the way, was playing well, and the Steeler offense was not lethal. Like, I think Stefanski's a brilliant play caller.
Yeah.
He doesn't trust Baker.
There might be something to that, but you had to get inspired when Baker got killed over on the sideline and he got up and gave that. I mean, that's the stuff, man. That's why that fan base connects with him. That and all the commercials. I don't know. I'm working on a theory, by the way. You like, you know, cap turn backwards and all things like that. You like theories like this. You know, like I like a Staley. I think the offensive coaches that are cleanly shaven, like Kellen Moore, probably could not grow stubble. Like there's no way.
Right.
But Stefanski with that gray stubble is a weird. That's a weird look to me. And I'm working on this, but I think the like the Sean Payton, the no stubble offensive coaches always just outrank
Kingsbury.
The guys. Well, Kingsbury will only do stubble like in the offseason for dating.
Good point.
Yeah.
We have to let this bake a little and come back with something strong next week.
You mean like clean up this mess I just made? Come back. We'll look at the tape, try to clean it up a little bit. Yes.
All right, Mosley. Great talking to you, buddy.
Okay. It's always fun. I'll talk to you soon.
At The Volume Sports, Twitter, Instagram, and the YouTube page. Rate, review, subscribe. It's all fun. Love Mosley. He's going to be on under 15 times in the football season. We hired him. We love him. Check us out at The Volume.
The Volume.